thinking about going into a week of prayer and fasting together, and I'm going to just share some thoughts with us, simple things, hopefully encouragement, and kind of mindful, obviously, that we're going to be praying together, and just want to encourage us and to be aware that whenever we gather together to God, whether that's together as a company of people, whether it's individually, whatever it is, that he has made himself so accessible. And one of the things I was reminded about this morning is, you remember when the Lord Jesus he called some little children to him. So I can't do that because they've gone somewhere else. I wish they were here. And he called some little children to him, and he said to all the grown-ups, that's us, he was like, unless you become like one of these, you won't be able to see, if I can put it like that, the kingdom of heaven. And he kind of held up little children as an example, and he said, there's something here for you to be able to see, which is going to help you massively. And it's going to help kind of bring release and movement and beauty. And it's just like, there's little children, have a look. And I think sometimes when we get older and we think we're grown-ups, we can sort of lose a bit of our ability to do that. But little children, they've got a lot to teach us, and I'm not going to stay on that point, but I want to hold it up for us. And in doing that, I'm going to make a really audacious claim as we get going this morning. Hi, Millie. And it's this. This is why children are so helpful, because they'll be more inclined to believe what I'm about to tell you. All right? This morning, in this place, it's entirely possible that God could speak to you. Amen, Peter. It's entirely possible. And do you know what will help? Childlike openness and wonder. And it's like, if you think about it, I don't know how long I'm going to go on for, but anyway, if you think about it, God, who is the creator of all things, and all things were made by him and through him and for him, Jesus, God, enormous and magnificent, holding all things together in any given moment of time, him. And here we are this morning in this place, and it's like, guys, God, he could speak to you. And you could hear him on the inside. You've got ears. Did you know that? We've got these ones too. But on the inside, we've got ears of our heart. And we can hear and know and see God. And so in a sense, I feel like this morning as I stand here and make words, it's an audacious claim, but it is true. And in all of us, there can be really good ground of receptivity to the voice of God speaking in a moment. And it's like, oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus, I want to have ears that hear and eyes that see. And I know that a certain kind of childlikeness is going to really help me a lot. Don't ever grow past this. And it's wonderful. Right, I'm going to read to us now. This is the Bible, so listen to it. And I'm going to read from Psalm 33. And just read down. Hold on. Starts like this, and given the context this morning, you might find this a little bit funny, but stay with me. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. For praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp, or we might say guitar or something. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. And sing to him a new song. And play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right. And all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. And the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. And he gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap, and he lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. I just stop there. And it's really full, this, you might have noticed, this little passage, Psalm 33. And there's so much here, and you go through, and you're thinking about the righteous, and the praise of the righteous is beautiful. There is something of God about it, beauty. The praise of the upright is beautiful. And then we find these instruments, we find music, we find our ability to create, to make music, and to praise and to worship, to honor God, and to shout joyfully. And it says this, the word of the Lord is right. So we've got right, we've got truth, we've got righteousness, we've got justice. We find that the earth is full of the goodness of God. The earth. Did you notice? The earth is full of the goodness of God. You can go around the earth and see, when you've opened your eyes, the goodness of God and the beauty and the provision of God. All over the place, and we have to open our eyes. And then it says about the word of God and the breath of God, and then this power of God, this ability of God, if you like. And we go through, and then it says, as a consequence, if you like, of all these things, and it says, let all the earth fear the Lord. And then it helps with the next bit of the same verse. It said, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Of him. And you think of this, and we think of this God that we've just read about, and then we think our response to him should be and can be this, one of awe and wonder. And in a way, if you read the word correctly, fear. It's like God, magnificence. And my response to him, I stand in awe and wonder at who he is. Do you know right there, that's where being childlike is really helpful. It really is. And I just want to encourage us in this little thought initially, that as we think about, or whatever it is we think about, whether we're thinking about prayer, whether we're thinking about worship, all these different things are responding and are reaching out after God. And I've got this little thought, and it's this. Worship requires wonder. Honestly, think about it. I want us to think about it. I want us to have hearts open and receptive to him. Worship requires wonder. How is it possible to worship God without wonder, without an appreciation of who he is, without an awe that is inspiring, that's quickening, that's enabling? How is it possible? I don't know. Because we need wonder, I think, in our worship of God. And it is truly wonderful. And I'm going to read to us a bit more. There's, in that passage that we just read in Psalms, there's reference to the book of Job. And I'm going to read to us from the book of Job. Man alive, you might think. It's not very cheerful, Matt, but you'd be wrong. And we find in this book, I'm going to read a little bit from Job 38. And we know, famously, in the story, the account of Job, this man has been through, I mean, people refer to the trials of Job. And it's just like, if you think you've had a hard life, read Job. It's like the guy went through it, didn't he? And he got to a point in his life, and all these terrible things have happened, and he's lost family, and he's lost wealth, and he's lost reputation and influence and all kinds of things. And it's like, it's not going well. And he gets to a point, and he's confused, if I could put it like that, and he's puzzling because he looks at his life and he thinks, basically, I've done it all right. I've been a good Christian, and I've done this, and I haven't been, you can check me out, because I'm going to be quoting in the colloquial from the Bible, but he says, like, I haven't been sleeping around, and I haven't done this, and I haven't done that, and I haven't, it's just like, I've been all right, but everything's gone wrong, and I don't understand, and I'm confused, and it's like, oh, Job, and then God speaks to Job. I'll read a little bit of it, and what's fascinating is when you begin to read this, and I hope you get it, you can look at it and you can think, God, what are you doing? You just seem to be kind of mocking Job, and sort of like, but he's not, and it's leading somewhere. And just listen to this. So we jump into this story of this man, and God starts questioning him. And he's just, verse 4, chapter 38, and he says, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know, Job. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened, Job? Or who has laid its cornerstones? And when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut, this is, we read this earlier in a way, or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? And you start reading down these questionings of God. And as you read down, because you can read these questionings, if you like, of God, and it's like it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on, verse after verse after verse, and God uses things from nature and from creation, and he questions Job. And it's like, Job, like, how involved were you, mate, in all of this? And the obvious answer is, well, not at all. Not at all. You did not require me, Almighty God, in your creation and in all the things that you've done. And you read through these verses, and I encourage you to do it, and it's like there's layer upon layer upon layer of the questioning of God, of this man, Job. And it's amazing, and you think, what is going on? Where is he leading with this? I mean, you think, if you're anything like me, you would kind of think pretty quickly, all right, I'm getting the message, like, it's not about me. But God just seems to keep going on, reaffirming and making this point to Job. And in a way, I feel for him as I read these verses. And I think, oh God, like, stop. Like, enough already. It's like, we're getting it. We're getting it. And God, in his loving kindness, he just keeps going. And you just think, whoa, how can he take this? And God just goes on. And it's amazing. Read it down. And God speaks layer upon layer upon layer. And it's his kindness to bring Job to a place of sight, of vision. And it's his kindness to us. And God does this. And I'll tell you what I mean. Because when we get a bit further on into chapter 42, and God has just asked so many things, and he's referenced different things in creation, and he's talked about the strength of a horse, and horses represented power and strength. And he's like, Job, where did the horse's strength come from? Was it you? And it's like, no. No, and so many things, and you go down, and it's incredible. And he talks about the planets and the stars and who placed them in their place and who knows them by name. And there's this magnificence that God is directing Job to, and he's looking at all these different things, all these different elements. And he's like, come on, Job, in all of this, where were you? And we get to this point, in chapter 42, and God has just kept going with this. And then I'll read down from the beginning. It said, Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. And we'll just stop there. And God has brought this man through this whole process. And it seems to me that part of what God has done in his loving kindness, and he does this for us in our own lives, is he leads us through things. And he brings us to a point, and then we realize, in some ways, I feel in a fresh way, that all I've known has been like with the hearing of the ear. And God, he brings us, he journeys us through, and he brings us to a point, and it's like light has come, illumination has come, and now it's like, oh, now I see God. I see now. And all the things that I may have heard about him or read about him, somehow God has this ability in our lives to bring us to a place of vision and of sight. And you see in these passages, part of what's happening is a true and right humility on the part of Job, but it's in reference to this wonder and magnificence of God. And he has a vision, an ability to see now God more clearly. And it changes everything. Another thing, God, we're going to move on from this in a minute. Another thing that you notice when you go through this account of this man's life, and he goes through this moment with God, and he comes to a place of vision, and not just hearing about, but seeing and having perception into God and who God is and the magnificence and glory and wonder of God. And then later on in this man's life, you discover, and God tells us this, that the latter part of his life was more, if you like, rich and full and blessed than it ever was before this moment of sight. Does this make sense? And God leads us to a place of bringing us to an ability to see with greater clarity and understanding. And it's wonderful. And it's exciting to me. And again, I'm just going to reference back now, because it's right helpful as we think about these things. childlikeness. Childlikeness. It's going to open your eyes. And I think this is part of an encouragement as we come to pray. So we don't need lots of clever words. We need a receptivity of heart and an easiness in our relationship with God to be able to talk to Him as we are. And He doesn't make it difficult. And there's a childlike beauty about this. And I love it. You know, little analogy. When I was a kid, growing up, I'd read quite a lot about Canada, the Rocky Mountains, and it inspired me tremendously. And I thought, I'm going there. And eventually, I did. But I'd read a lot, and I've got this book, and there's like pictures, and there's rodeos, and like all sorts. It's great. And I thought, I'm going there one day. But I had this growing appreciation of Canada, particularly British Columbia, and the Rocky Mountains, and it's like, this is wonderful. I'm going. It's got my attention. And then one day, I got there. I've got to tell you, the experience of being there, Charlotte and I, we hired a camper van and we went around the Rockies for a bit. It was breathtaking. It was awe-inspiring. It was wonderful. And it was entirely different to the hearing of the ear, the reading about it secondhand from somebody else, from some other time. And it's just like, you have to go to the place and you have to experience the sight and the smell and the atmosphere firsthand. And it's entirely different. I want to encourage us this morning. You might think this is really random, right? I want to encourage us this morning in our freshness of responding to God. God has given to you and me imagination. Oh, what's that about? It's a gift. God has given to you and me imagination. Do you think that when God was talking to Job in the way that he was, that there was something going on in the man's imagination that quickened something which encouraged this sense of wonder and awe? Childlike. What do you reckon? Like, it's a question. Have you got any answers? It's like, really? God wants to provoke in you and me this wonder and sense of awe in response to himself. Because it seems to me that if that doesn't happen, we kind of remain at a distance and we're going to really struggle to worship the living God. How can he be who he is? And for me to have a sight and a vision of who he is and not feel a sense of awe and wonder? Tell me, Tony, you can't do it, mate, can you? You can't do it. You can't do it. And God wants to quicken in us, you and me, a growing sense of wonder and awe at who he is. You're all looking a bit baffled. But it's like, honestly, Billy, you know about this. It's like God. It's like, come on. We live, I'm just waffling on, but just come with me for a bit. We live within the context of a society which is horribly mechanistic. It is. And this is dehumanizing. And God, he comes in his kindness and he's like, come on, children. Come on. Come out of that cold rigidity which is imposed and crushing your soul. He's like, I'm beautiful and magnificent, and you can know me after the Spirit with a childlike simplicity of knowing that will revolutionize your interior life. You could call it prayer live, couldn't you? You know when God encourages us and he's like, guys, I want you to expect the unexpected. He's not teasing. He's not teasing. God wants to lead us in a way that we haven't gone before. What do you reckon? Oh, here it is, that peak, Greg. You know what he said about trying to get God in the back of a Volvo? Do you know what? I think we try and get him in a lunchbox. I do. I think we try and make him so small that we can package him up and put him in our pocket. And it's like, no, this is tragedy. And it's epidemic. And it's partly a consequence of the society and the mechanistic approach that we take in so much of our life. And God wants to stir us in our spirit and in our soul. And he wants to nourish you with the beauty of himself. You could allow him to nourish you. And you could become excited in a fresh, new, childlike way. It's like, oh, this is like the Rocky Mountains. I'm coming. I'm coming. And I want to invite you. Are you coming? Because I know this. This is what you need. Him. In his magnificence and his beauty. And for you to stand in awe and wonder at who he is. And you know something, that when you find that place in an increasing way, do you know, it is there that the impossible becomes possible. And that you can pray for things that you would not otherwise feel equipped to pray for. Why? Because God has become magnificent to me. In freshness and vitality. And it's like, this is really lovely. It's really lovely. And we could grow together in this way and be knowing God in prayer and wonder. And it seems to me that there is a need for wonder to worship. Childlike. Jesus said it. God, it seems, and so often, I mean, this is incredible what I'm going to say now. It seems to me that so often God has become so small. In my perception of him. I mean that personally. I think that. And one of the things that's growing and stirring in me in these days, and a few people have mentioned this, to do with longing after God. I realise it's like God's opening my eyes in a fresh way. And I look around the place and I think, wow, God is all over the place. And you find beauty where you didn't see it before. And you find beauty in certain music. And you find beauty. Do you know that the Bible, and we read a bit of it, the Bible is full of poetry. You're going to think I'm right going off on one, aren't you? The Bible is full of poetry. It's full of language which encourages imagination and wonder. God is beautiful and he did it on purpose. And it's like, come on, let's stir these things in our hearts after him. The Bible's full of poetry. I don't know if you believe me, but it is. And it's full of him, and it's full of beauty, and it's full of wonder. You know, one of the things that happened for Abraham, I will wrap this up in a minute. Abraham, impossibility. He and his wife couldn't have kids. And God took him on a journey, metaphorically speaking. He also went on an actual one. And they came to a point, and God said to Abraham, come out here. Impossibility. And he said, come out here. He said, what I want you to do, I want you to look up. Look up. See those stars. Now, we can talk about this and you'll be like, yeah, I got it. Got it. I know the stars. I know where they are. Look up. So, and it's just like, what does it mean? Put on the childlikeness and then think about it. I encourage you, like actually in practice, we've had a few nights like this recently, I've noticed, because I go out and put the chickens to bed. And when I go out sometimes and it's dark and there's not really many clouds in the sky, a bit unusual for here, not too many clouds, and you look up, and it's a starry, starry night, and you see. And in a way, in this country, because of light pollution and all the rest of it, we get a bit of a dull view of the stars. But you can go to some places, and you look up. I remember being in Africa and looking up, and it's just in the middle of nowhere, and it's pitch black. And you look up, and you think, man alive, how did I miss that? And it's incredible. It's absolutely breathtakingly incredible. And you think, flipping heck. I missed so much. God wants to give us a clarity of sight in a fresh way so that we can see the beauty. See the stars. Anyway, he did this for Abraham. He's like, Abraham, have a look. And he's just like, you're going to have offspring. And it's like, can you number the stars? It's a bit like teasing in a way. It's like, I don't think so. Have a try. You can't do it. And God's encouraging him and speaking to him. And it's just like, I'm going to take your impossibility and I'm going to make it possible. I'm going to do it. And again, this takes us back to the thought about Job, who discovers in relation to God, I didn't contribute a thing, but all the blessing and the grace and the kindness and the love of God to bring me into a place, a land flowing with milk and honey, a place of spaciousness and liberty and joy and childlikeness. And we all become so jolly grown up and we can't see a hand in front of our faces very often. I think this. And Jesus, he saves us. And we find that we can come to a place in looking at him. This is why it's about prayer. In looking at him. And I'm going to call it wide-eyed wonder. Have you ever seen a little kid in wide-eyed wonder? I have. That's what part of what Jesus was pointing to. It's like, have a look at that. That'll get you to the kingdom. It's wonderful. Wonder, Johnny, my friend, provokes longing. God is so responsive to a longing heart. Do you know, it is incredible to me that in a way, God waits to be wanted. Did you know that? He's so gentle and kind, he won't just bombard into your life. He won't. But he will through his beauty and majesty, he will encourage wonder, which provokes longing, which is movement towards God. And this place that I'm trying to describe for us and point to this morning, it makes prayer entirely different. One of the things that happens in a place of prayer, and this is why all these things are linked together, is that in a place of prayer, our perspective is changed, is altered. When we see him in this way that I'm trying to point to, our perspective of possible changes. Are you with me? It does, honestly. And things which just seemed so utterly impossible a moment before somehow now seem possible. And prayer changes perspective. The impossible becomes possible because we learn to see him. You wouldn't think it was so simple, would you? But it is. It's like childlike. It's accessible. It's beautiful. It requires heart, soul, spirit movement to God. Academic understanding will bring you to a point, but it won't take you far enough. Not in this way. It won't. It was never intended to. It's never intended to. God is after our hearts, and it will require movement on the inside. And I want to encourage us. I mean this, really, really mean this. We're going to break bread in a minute. And I want to hold these two thoughts together for us. So that when we break bread and we think about the Lord Jesus and the provision that he's made for us, I want to ask you, is there wonder in your heart in response to this? Or does it just become cold symbolism? It's not meant to. It's meant to keep at the forefront this freshness of receptivity to God. And it's like, I know, as Job learnt, it's like all my nourishment and life and vitality and purpose and meaning, it comes from himself. And I can receive freshly every moment his provision of himself. Is this making sense to us this morning? No. God, spiritually, God wants to take us into territory that we've never been before. Tony believes me, but it's true. God wants to take us into territory that we've never been before, together. And it looks a bit like this. There's a childlike simplicity and beauty of closeness of relationship to God where you can see him differently. And when we do together, it's like he's just changed the whole world for us. It's wonderful, isn't it? One of the things that rises from that heart, and we read about this at the beginning, is praise and worship. And we start getting out guitars and stuff, and it's helpful. Music. God has gifted music to humanity, and it's beautiful. And the Bible's full of it. I want to encourage us that you can go away, and I mean this, it's just like make a moment, take some time. And it's like you might use the stars. Don't worship the stars, but you could look at them. And one of the things that can happen, and this is true, I think, depending on how you're built, with music, with poetry, with nature, with all kinds of different things that God has surrounded us with and he's filled his word with. And part of what it's doing is it helps us to look up in wonder and to see him more clearly. Do you know when they built cathedrals and all that? That was part of the idea. We're going to make something so magnificent and so beautiful that it will help people to elevate their hearts and their minds to God. Lifted. Lifted. And it's like, guys, this week, so you might think this sounds all right mystical, but it's not. Like this week, if you get a clear night, like honestly, like actually in bodily form, like have a look. Look at the stars. And see if there's any wonder. If there isn't, oh, you could cry out to God and he'll do something for you. It's there on purpose. And he wants us to be filled with the wonder of himself. And I think this, when we think about the cross, and I just think, you can't put the efficacy of the cross of Jesus Christ in a lunchbox. You can't do it. Psychologically, sometimes, we think we do. But we can't do it. And what God has achieved through his Son on the cross is so magnificent. And his redemption is so far-reaching. It encompasses everything. We need a bigger vision, don't we, Tony? We do. We do. And there's this invitation. It's like, come on. Come on. All right, Josh. The invitation of God to see him as he is. I mean, what an invitation. What do you reckon? It's like the most beautiful, magnificent, wonder-working God. And he's like, I want you to see me as I am. I want you to take the veil away. See this? He took the veil away. We could live in the benefit of that, could we not? He took the veil away. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to break bread in a minute. And I'll pass this round. And as we eat and drink and we receive, if I can put it like this, the Lord Jesus to ourselves, I want us to know that this, what this represents, is magnificent. It is finished, the work of the Lord Jesus. He has accomplished it already. And we can receive from him and benefit from him and live because of him in our lives, day by day, by day, by day. And childlike simplicity and beauty, the magnificence of the cross of Jesus Christ. He has rescued me. He has provided for me. He has given me an ability to see that I never had before. And it's all because of what he has done and what he's accomplished on the cross. And we are the beneficiaries of that grace this morning. And it's like, guys, drink deeply. Eat and drink and be nourished by him this morning. By him. He changes us from the inside out. He brings us into places that we've never ever been before. And it's a delight to him to invite us. And it's like, come on, guys. Come on. He's opened a door for us so wide. So wide. And then his invitation, come in. Come in and sit with me. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your beauty this morning and your magnificence. We thank you for a complete and finished work at Calvary. And thank you that you're working out that reality now in and through our lives and all around us, Lord. And we just want to continue to have you up front and center in our minds, in our hearts, in our imaginations. And praying that even this morning, that as we eat and as we drink and as we receive from you, that you would bring a freshness and a clarity of sight of yourself, an open-heartedness, a childlike receptivity, an easiness of communication and language. Lord, you died to bring us into a close place with the Father. And we thank you this morning for that reality. We thank you that you are the changeless one. And Lord, we pray that as we go forward into this week together, that in different ways, at different times, that you would continue to bring a greater illumination, direction, understanding, a season of your grace that we may have glimpsed from afar, but would come into in new and fuller measure. Lord, we thank you for your blood poured out for us. We thank you for your body. We thank you for your givenness, for your not holding backness. Lord, we're grateful to you this morning, and we just come simply, profoundly, but simply. We come to you, we eat, we drink, we receive your very life this morning. Amen.